Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zack building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Ben. I make Into the Weeds.
Hey, this is Mark from Magical Trash. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with a couple guys. You guys want to go around the mics and introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hi, I'm Mark. Go by the moniker Magical Trash. And I'm currently living in Amsterdam. I'm from Portland, Oregon, though, just to clear up that confusion.
I am Mickey Mirage. Hey.
That's all your introduction we
get? That's it.
Okay.
That's all you need.
What else? Yeah, what more do you want?
All right. Well, my name is Ben Sturdivant. We're here in my house, and Shane came over, and we've been doing this like collaborative podcast episode today, which is kind of interesting, at least for me. I don't know if it's interesting for Shane or not. He seems to have been around the block a few times, you know.
482.
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of blocks.
Something like that. Mm. We just recorded Ben's show, Into the Weeds.
Into the Weeds.
Yeah, and you can find that at IntoWeeds.com.
www.IntoWeeds.com.
Yeah, there it is.
I've gotten good at saying that.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of get some story about how, you know, you getting started with this show and stuff.
Oh,
and
love to tell it.
You said somewhere around spring the idea came about?
Spring of last, this past spring, I guess spring of this year. What month is this? Yeah, spring of this year. Is it January?
It is November.
Yeah, I lose track of things. I remember waking up in the middle of summer one time thinking that the following Sunday was the Super Bowl. I don't know what's wrong with my mental map of time.
Can't wait.
Exactly. I was so excited. Well, so Mickey Mirage and I were sort of having some powwows, talking about how we could feasibly travel to Portland and back without having to go sizably into debt in order to facilitate a music tour. That's basically how the discussion that created Into the Weeds started, and it went through a number of different forms. The first idea was we were going to do live concerts along the way, much like this, but live and broadcast over the internet via video technology. And that became just too difficult to try and pull off because...
I am going to talk to you about doing something like
that. Oh, no, I still want to do that. And, but that technology is just very expensive, you know, and it's hard to... And you got to pay for the service. And then what happened? Then we decided we're going to make films. We're going to become filmmakers, and we're going to like go and make short documentary films of people along the way, and then we'll build up our relationships and, you know, establish ourselves in different markets that way. And, you know, that seems like a pretty viable idea. So we did an experimental couple of films of we did one of Tony Compton, and we did one with a friend of his in Chicago named Daniel Fiddler, and neither of them got released just because they just weren't quite the quality that you need out of a video. A video has to look good. People are willing to listen to a podcast and be like, be understanding of the, well, this guy's just got a little like recorder. He's in his garage. We understand that. It's a podcast. It's supposed to be like that. But then you put on a video that has that same audio and the video looks shitty. They're like, turn this crap off. It's, you know, Junior League. People have odd expectations of their social media. Somewhere along the line, the idea got thrown out. Well, let's just do a podcast to support the video project. And so we started doing podcasts, and the podcast just began snowballing, whereas the video project became much more daunting. And so it has hence evolved into what we did just a moment ago.
Right. I get people all the time asking me about doing my show video and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know. It would be cool, but like you're saying, it requires a lot of work. Video editing, it takes a lot more time than audio, I think. Just out of the simplicity of things, just to keep it in audio format for right now. But, it'd be fun to someday maybe take it to video. I got this crazy idea. I just got to figure out how to fund it. I'm a big fan of this video series called Jam in the Van. Mm-hmm. They're all over, YouTube and everything. And they go to, like, all these festivals, Bonnaroo and whatever, and they record with all these huge guys. And, like, they were really the inspiration for the idea, but I kind of wanted to take my own approach of what they do and kind of make it maybe a mobile podcast studio and just have people jump in the van. And then, like, in that case, we could have, like, GoPros mounted or whatever, and like if we had an actual studio, it wouldn't require as much work as in having to set up everything and stuff. So I keep thinking about buying an old van and decking it out with some mics and some cameras and just making this this little Jam in the Van type of podcast format. So
you want to go into business together?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's
right on.
I think it'd be a ton of fun just to like, especially like just, just roll up to the pageant or whatever, wherever the show's at for the night and just be able to record with anybody that's in town for the evening and stuff. So
that'd be very sweet.
Yeah, man. So, you're up to like what, 20 something?
16, actually. That's right. I've been doing one a week. They require a little more preparation because it involves like original. Everyone has a new original song in it, and everyone has a prepared theme to create the conversation that we talk about. Like for instance, the episode that I did at Ryan Spearman's house, with Beth Bumbara, we talked about Americana, and specifically the whole conversation was just focused on that particular topic. And just like the episode we recorded just moments ago was focused on the idea of experimentation in music. And other episodes have gotten much more philosophical, broader themes than just talking about genres or approach to writing or recording music.
Yeah, and you've had a ton of my favorites on there, and mentioning Beth and you said Tony Compton and Susie Gilb and the list goes on. I mean, a bunch of my friends have been on my show and stuff as well, and so it's cool to see a lot of that crossover with all of our singer-songwriter friends.
It's amazing we haven't met before.
Yeah, frankly. Yeah. That's one of the things. I kind of talked about it briefly off mic when we got here, but like, and kind of going along with what you guys were talking about on your with the Into the Weeds episode with the experimentation, like a lot of for me, like is, doing the show is just that whole like taking that chance and seeing what happens, and like because a lot of these I record, I don't know the people, I just sit down and like we start recording, start talking, and getting to know them better and getting to share some stories and stuff. But it's you know, it's that whole, you never know, this could either be really bad or really good. And just like Mark said when he showed up, you know, he didn't know any of us either. So that was it's really just a fun thing to kind of realize, though, like after you sit and talking for half an hour or whatever, you realize like, oh, well, we have a lot in common actually. So, and that's what one of my favorite parts of the show is just that making those friendships and stuff out of it.
What's the creepiest thing that's happened to you in your 500 episodes that you've recorded?
Oh, creepiest, man. I don't know. I kind of shared a story like about I went and met Les Gruff and the Billy Goat, and it wasn't really like they were creepy at all, but like the leading up to it was definitely creepy because that was kind of where it all started for the whole because the first. You know, several episodes were just friends of mine and people that I wanted. And then I started branching out, like, after that. Like, I was like, I needed to, you know, other people started like, hey, we want to be a part of the show and stuff. So I started getting emails from people I didn't know. And then I was meeting them for the first time on the mic. And that was kind of one of the where it all started with those guys. And I was like, I clearly recall, like, you know, well, I'm driving to the, you know, to St. Louis. I'm going to some guy's house I don't know and going to his, you know, basement, and I'm like, well, either this could be really good or really bad, and like, you know, I never know. But that's kind of it's also, like I said, it's kind of the fun of it, though. Just the
sure.
Yeah, so
I remember Tony's old neighborhood too. It was kind of I'd have been scared being told to go to the back door of that house too,
right? But like I said, ultimately they've all been awesome, they've all worked out, but it's just right. Like, you know, it's that whole thing. And I mean, I'm sure you guys go through the same thing every day. Every time you step on a stage, you're like, especially touring and stuff, Mark, like, you know, like if you go to a different city, you're like, well, hopefully they like it and see how it goes. So, like
just
you said,
try to relax.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you said you're here in St. Louis for a bit, but, yeah, you're originally from, been living in Portland for a while.
Yeah. I'm actually originally from Lafayette, Indiana. But I moved to Portland over a decade ago, and
was that for music or?
It was just for a change.
Yeah, right.
I was like, maybe I'll try this out for a couple of years, and then, you know, 10 years went by.
Sure. Yeah, and then how'd that lead you to Netherlands, like you mentioned?
Well, I work for this company called Discogs, which is like a music collecting website.
Right.
And we opened another office there, so. I had the opportunity to transfer, and I was like, yes, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That sounds awesome. I would just love to, that's one of my, like, biggest goals is, like, just to be able to travel more and see more of the world, you know, like, yeah, especially outside of the United States.
I feel, extremely lucky to have a job where I can just kind of work from home or, like, work remotely. It definitely helps with making music as well, just having that space, you know, take a couple hours in the afternoon to work on music in my little studio, or, you know.
Yeah. Nice. So you said Magical Trash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, Alexa, we just met an hour ago. I didn't get to learn a lot about what you're up to, but I'm guessing all over Facebook and all the different things you can find you get involved with what you're up to.
Yeah. Last year, I took it upon myself to try to record an EP for every single month of the year.
Oh, wow.
So I pretty much made it. The December one ended up coming out in, like, the end of January.
Like, well, how many tracks are you looking for each EP?
I went for, you know, either 5 songs or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, every month, you know, the first of the month rolled around, and I was just like, I have no idea what I'm going to do this month. But it was kind of liberating to not put any expectations on myself for what was going to be the fruit of that. Every single month, it was just a completely blank slate to kind of explore what was, you know, going on in my world, going on in the world, and kind of work through things I'd read or things I'd listened to, and try to see what shook out.
Did you find that the imperative of meeting this like quota was making you it was changing your process? Like, so you, I did something similar once. I did this thing. It was like a this project where you recorded, tried to write and record a whole album in a month. It was the month of February.
Was that the RPM challenge?
Maybe there's another one. This one was called FOM.
Oh, nice.
February album writing month. And as you would post your songs and people would give you feedback on them like instantaneously. It was great. It was a very welcoming community of people, and people of all skill levels, and everyone's really like kind, but also critical at the same time. It was a good experience. But what I found during that time was like my mind changed modes. Like I was just constantly working on it, and I didn't like take breaks and wait for like emotions to affect me and want to create based on, you know, feelings of sadness or despair or, you know, existential terror or any of that, the ordinary things that I used to inspire my stuff. Whereas it was just like, I became more of like what you think of when you think of a professional songwriter. Like I just was like making stuff that would be for the sake of it being good. You know, did you have that experience? I'm sorry. I was long winded.
That's good. To a degree. I mean, just having a deadline, and even though it was self-imposed, I mean, you know, I had maybe a handful of people that were actually keeping me accountable, but just having that deadline every single month just put a lot of pressure on me to actually follow through. Like if I say I'm going to do something, I got to do it.
Cool. Yeah.
But I wouldn't say necessarily that writing the songs became any easier. I still definitely think there was like a crunch time at the end of every month where I was like, mm-hmm. Oh man, I got to write like 5 songs worth of lyrics in like sure. one day.
Yeah. I bet I cheated on that. I did use one that I had done the week before February started. but it's okay.
Shame.
Yeah.
But I would definitely recommend to anyone, if you want to get something done, just give yourself a deadline.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you put out like what, 60 something songs then, I guess?
Yeah, I don't remember what the actual count is, but it's like 6 hours of music or something.
Wow. It's awesome.
Very cool.
And I went through and edited, just picked my favorite from each one and released it as a compilation album back in September.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, if you're interested in my music, you don't have to slog through 6 hours of, you know, experiments and crazy shit. There's a, you know, a 45-minute album that's pretty concise.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Nice. Yeah, I've had friends, they did like a single a month, and then at the end of the year they put together and put it on a record, and like, you know, and I think that's kind of a cool route to do that. But yeah, to put out an EP a month, that seems pretty ambitious, but I'm glad you stuck to it and made it happen, man.
Thanks.
I don't know. I kind of related to kind of what you were saying, like, I put it on myself. It's not like anybody's like demanding more. I mean, I've actually had people tell me maybe I should put out less, but I'm like, but I've been running like 3 to sometimes, you know, a lot of times 4 episodes a week doing this show, and some people were saying maybe you should do less and just kind of focus on each one more or something. Like, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just putting them out there. If people like them, you know, you can listen whenever, you know. That's kind of the thing with podcasting anyway. It's all on demand, you know. Nobody has to keep up with me. It just has to listen to whatever ones you want. And
it's not like serialized fiction or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're all just different conversations. And what resonated with me was I was talking to Devin Allman one day. He's become a friend of mine, and he shared some advice that he was given one day when he was looking to hit the road as a singer songwriter and stuff. I told him, who had been a manager for several years and stuff like that, she said, you know, just, you know, once you get going, just keep your foot on the gas, don't slow down, because the next person that's hungry for it's going to pass you up. And like, and that whole like mentality, like taking that approach to coming to this podcast, like that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, you know, I was like, I don't have to put out 4 episodes, but like I feel like I started this, now I got to keep going, I have to continue this pace, and so I've just been trying to keep the foot on the gas, like you said. So
I think it's really easy to let your creative energy run out too. Like, I mean, for example, this year I think I did a split tape with another artist, and it was like a 5 minute song, and it took me like 4 months to come up with a 5 minute song, whereas I was releasing like 30 minutes of music every month the previous year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally feel that. Like, if you don't keep your foot on the gas, then you just kind of start to realize that you haven't done anything in a while, or you know, like, oh man, I really need to come up with a new challenge just so I can get myself more motivated or hold myself accountable on some level.
Damn, yeah. Well, very cool. You guys all have your guitars. I think it'd be cool to play something. Who wants to go first?
I went first last time. Someone else gets to go first this time.
You want to go first, Mickey?
I sort of have to go soon.
Yeah.
But I feel weird playing a cover, not saying a lot, and then just leaving.
Hey. You can just be really quiet the rest of the show.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I'm sticking around for as long as I can.
Yeah. Let's hear it, man.
I'd say go for it.
Is it cool if I just play a cover? Like, it's dumb, but it's a good song.
People kind of obviously want original stuff, but I mean, I think that's what's fun about cover too, is people taking their original approach to applying their own stuff to it. So
totally,
yeah.
You know, this is just one that's been resonating with me, and it's one that's stuck around for a long time, helping me out mentally, coping mechanism with, you know, so much. It's by one of my favorites. It's by Father John Misty. I like Father John Misty a lot. It's called Total Entertainment Forever. And I like entertainment, being entertained, but not as a lifestyle, hopefully. So we'll see. Betting Taylor Swift every night inside the Oculus Rift, after Mr. and the Mrs. finished dinner and the dishes. And now the future's definition is so much higher than it was last year. It's like the images have all become real, and someone's living my life for me out in the mirror. Oh no, can you believe how far we've come in the new age? The freedom to have what you want. In the new age, we'll all be entertained. Rich or poor, the channels are all the same. You're a star now, baby, so dry your tears. You're just like them. You're waking up from your nightmare. Na 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 na. Come on. Oh 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 oh. No God to rule us, no drugs to soothe us, no myths to prove stuff, no love to confuse us. Not bad for a race of demented monkeys, from the cave to a city to a permanent party. Come on. Oh, 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 oh. When the historians find us, we'll be in our homes, plugged into our hubs, skin and bone, with frozen smiles on every face.
as the stories replay. This must have been a wonderful place. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. That sounded good. I'm glad you shared that, because I'm not a big Father John Misty fan, but I did really enjoy that performance, so.
Nice.
So thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, check him out.
I saw him at the Fox one night.
Oh, whoa.
Opening for
Alabama Shakes.
Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
And I went for Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, the sonically, the band sounded killer.
Yeah.
What I think what kind of turned me off was, like, I just felt like it was sarcastic the whole time.
Yeah,
and like,
that's what I like.
It's just like, I don't know, I just didn't really get it. And like,
yeah.
And I mean, it's just not for me. Like, it just kind of, I don't know. At the time, I haven't really dived into his records. That performance didn't really lead me to want to go listen to more.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I thought the band sounded fantastic. It's just that couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like live, he also kind of puts on this persona that he's too cool to be there or something.
Yeah, and he was like, you know, giving this attitude to the audience, like, you know, like, and I don't know, like I said, I mean, and some of that's kind of fun, but it's the same kind of goes for me too. Like, I've been to Chicago, and they got that Ed DeBevics or whatever up there, you know. You guys have been up there?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Like Dick's Last Resort is another one that's like that.
So it's like a regular diner, and then, yeah, they like just treat you like shit the whole time, and it's like, if you don't know that, like, going in there, like, then you're like, man, this is just a really awful restaurant.
What's wrong with these people?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, I was turned off by him as well at first. I was like, shut the fuck up, dude. I was like, what is this crap? But I don't know. Just something clicked one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah.
And I've been wrong at times about other stuff, and then, like, give it a second chance, like, you know, a year later or whatever, and then all of a sudden it just, you know, clicks and makes sense to me then at the time. Like, and I feel like music's that way a lot of times, like, where, you kind of have to be in there either the right age or the right time or right emotions. If it doesn't hit you when you're, like, you know, something like if you're some super sad song, when you're depressed, you're going to reconnect to that more often or whatever it is, you know, vice versa and stuff. So it's like, but if you're not listening to in the right time of your life, then it's not going to have that full potential to
totally.
You.
I try and keep that in mind as well when music is subject to my, you know, my physiology to a certain degree, you know, and like my chemistry, I guess, at any given moment, you know. And so I'll try and be like, you know, I just don't want to listen to this right now.
Yeah.
Maybe when I'm like hyped up, I want to hear this shit.
Right.
But just not in the mood for it.
Yeah.
Well, whereas in the past, I would be like, oh, I don't like this. I like this, and I don't like that. At this point, I'm sort of like, I can't even trust myself. I can't even trust my own taste. So it's just not the right time, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are a very effective ambassador for Father John Misty, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we took a trip to Chicago together one time, and he was playing Father John Misty the entire time. With the occasional, like, interlude into a few other things.
Animal Collective?
Yes. No, and there were some others as well. Were some others as well. It was after that experience of hearing that music through the lens of Brandon's enthusiasm for, I'm sorry, Mickey's enthusiasm. Yeah. For it.
I was Brandon then.
Oh, you were Brandon then. You hadn't achieved your final form.
Through his rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah. I don't think I was wearing these.
No. No. It was through that lens. Excuse the pun, although you can't see the glasses, but if you
rose-colored lenses, baby.
Yeah. You'd get why we're chuckling. It was through that lens that it clicked for me too, but it wouldn't have clicked if it hadn't been for your enthusiasm. So I was just saying, everyone out there, give
listen
him a
to Father John Misty with Brandon.
Exactly, it's an experience.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was doing wrong the whole time.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Yeah,
I wasn't there to guide you by the hand.
Yeah. Well, How about you, Ben? You want to go?
Well, I think I got a good closer for this one.
Okay.
I'm gonna kick it over to Matt.
All right.
Mark.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. Everybody always gets my name wrong and calls me Matt.
It's okay. I didn't actually tell you my name until I showed up here, so.
I suppose it's fair. All right.
So this is a song that took me like 4 months to finally come up with. Maybe.
You want to describe what you we got going on or two?
Oh, yeah, so.
You got a pretty crazy setup here.
Yeah, so I have a Suzuki Omnicord, which you may remember from elementary school, which is basically just like an electronic auto harp that I found in my girlfriend's parents' garage and just decided to take. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. Thanks, Linda. Then I'm running everything through an OP1, which is basically like a four-track recorder, synthesizer, drum machine combo, super portable. And I have guitar. All this is running through an effects chain, and yeah,
right.
It's way more complicated than you know. This is how you'd be a solo musician, I guess.
Advice, though you never believed them. Step outside, the sky is glowing weirdly. There's a hole where your soul should be. Thank you. staring at the sun. 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 Staring at the sun.
Sweet.
Yeah, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. Glad you played that. Father, follow the Father John. We got to get weird with it after that.
Yeah, man. That was cool. That, so is it, I mean, is that what you have here? Is that a lot of what's on, what you put on the record? I mean, or did you use a lot of other different instrumentation and stuff? Or
I mean, I think the OP1 is the only reason I was really able to pull it off, because just like having everything portable and like
it's able cool to carry around toy. I mean, it's not a toy, it's an instrument, but it looks like a toy. You should see, it's got little pink colored knobs on it. It's beautiful.
it's deceptive. But yeah, just having like a super streamlined workflow, like I could just come up with the bones of a track on this thing and then kind of import it into Logic and fill it out.
Very nice.
So it functions like an interface too, then?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, I guess I would describe it as like a task cam that loops.
Okay. Without a tape deck in it.
Yeah.
A digital tape deck, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man. That was fun.
I'll be Googling that after you go. I'll tell you that. Tell you that much.
Yeah. Reminds me, when I was listening to just some of the stuff that, but I got a friend in town, goes by Hands and Feet, and he does some real experimental kind of stuff like that. And he creates a lot of these loops live, like playing his guitar and keys and melodica and all kinds of different stuff. And like, he's just got this crazy setup, but it's just kind of crazy that you can do that with like with that one, almost that one instrument, and that one, you know, create those loops like that.
Yeah, my only complaint is like I've used the Boss looping pedals before, and like having foot control is indispensable. Like this, it's like these tiny little keys and, you know, big fingers. Like,
sure. Are there any like foot controllers you can get for it or something like that?
No, but I don't know. I think there's a market for that. Hint, hint. Anyone listening?
Take my money.
We're creating all kinds of ideas. We might not have to release this episode just to just protect ourselves. Yeah, man. Well, very nice. Like I said, Magical Trash on Facebook and all that other stuff. You can get involved with what he's up to.
That song have any lyrical meaning to you?
Yeah, it came together. I was in Oregon when the total eclipse happened, so I drove down to visit some friends in Corvallis, which was in the totality, and so the song's kind of about the experience of seeing that and experiencing that, like the awe that that inspires, and then it's also about the photo of Trump where he's like looking at the sun without the special glasses, and so kind of the larger meaning is this. Ignoring science, just ignoring the warning signs and just saying, well, it seems like an okay idea, so let's just ignore what, you know, 99% of people are saying that are experts at this.
Around here we had Ozzy Osbourne playing during the totality and playing Bark at the Moon. And
really?
So, yeah. Oh, wow.
That's pretty excellent.
That was pretty crazy. It was like over in Illinois, some Darkening of the Sun Festival. So yeah,
I heard about that.
Yeah,
is that the one that was at Makanda?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But
Ozzy Osbourne in Makanda.
That would have. That's why I asked, because it created. I suddenly was really jealous that I wasn't there.
Yes.
The whole, when you were saying that too, I was thinking. I'm a big fan of comedy, so like as you, I mentioned in Into the Weeds, I mentioned a Mitch Hedberg reference, and but when you were saying Staring at the Sun, I thought of Brian Regan. He's got a joke about you know, being a dumb kid, and like they would like his parents would like, or mom would tell him like, go find an activity and stuff, and he's like, so he said he'd go outside and stare at the sun, and then he was like, you know, he's counting. He's like, 1, 2, 3. You know, he's like, I got 6 at the stuns today. And like, you know, like, hey, Brian, you might want to quit doing that. He's like, yeah, I was thinking I probably should. You know, probably not a good activity. And like, so anyway, just so that's what I was thinking about when you were playing.
That's good.
I was just mesmerized by all the craziness.
Yeah, man, that was cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I liked how we got multiple instruments all coming together, sort of seamlessly transitioning mm-hmm. between one or the other.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It was well crafted, definitely.
Thanks.
Well, yeah, I don't know. So I just learned about Ben and some of your what you've been up to with the show and things, and you were telling me about the band too. You also play the group as well as being a solo songwriter, singer songwriter.
Yes, yeah. I have a band called Aisrowl. It's spelled AYESIROWL. It is a band and it isn't a band. Sometimes I just like we'll book a show with that as the name for just me by myself. Usually I put Ben Sturdivant on the bills these days, but the band historically has consisted of myself and my girlfriend Kelsey and our friend Dalton, who plays the bass, and he's a percussionist as well. But you know how life sort of tears apart projects over the years. So we had a period of definitely some downtime in which we played some shows maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and then the bass player had a kid, and you know Kelsey got a new job. Just things just sort of like started just drifting apart. But then we've actually kind of gotten back together this just in the last few weeks and started rehearsing. I have like shitloads of new material. Can I say shit on your show?
You can say whatever.
All right, fuck yes. I have shitloads of new material, and I think I've written and recorded like maybe at least maybe 3 or 4 EPs, a couple of SPs, singles plays, a couple of those. I have a full length record that I'm ready to record. It's like sitting there. It's all written. It's just ready to go. I just need to like make it happen and put it in. Get the folks in and actually collaborate, because I want it to be a band. I want there to be a collaborative like process of composing this the material. I don't like the process of just me going in and like me recording my scratch tracks and then everybody else coming in and then putting their tracks down, and then we just have this, you know, pile of crap that we've put on top of each other without any real like process that developed it in the process, you know. And I feel like that's what happens a lot, just because of, you know, the crunch of time, and like we all have these ideas. We want to have a band, and so we need to, you know, what looks like a band. Well, tracks laid on top of each other, as opposed to like, you know, the evolution of a sound or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just being real patient and letting things happen to make this record, and I'm excited about it. But that kind of goes hand in hand with my little podcast project, which is why we're all here today, I guess.
as well as your podcast project, which is, I guess, ultimately another reason why we're all here today. This is a, it's kind of a mind fuck, actually. Right.
Yeah. What is real?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Why so, are we here?
I'll try to answer that question with this song.
Before you begin, Mickey Mirage, I have to go.
He was never really here, actually.
Yeah. Just been phoning this in.
This is a figment of our imagination.
Yeah, I have to hang up now. Go back to what I was doing.
Yeah.
Bathing in gold. Women.
Gold women?
Yes. I'm going to leave my stuff here. And I'm going to come back and get it in like 2 hours. If that's good with you.
That's cool, man. No problem.
Right on.
Well, thank you for taking some time out to hang out with us.
Oh, of course. It's my pleasure.
Hard to take time away from gold women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bathing in a
sea of them just rolling around.
It's like Scrooge McDuck, but it's women made out of gold.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Peace. Signing off. Over and out.
This song is called It Don't Seem Real. Forgot the first lyric of the song. Rising from a tiny puddle, the apple tree believes. My hands reaching upward will carry it to the sea. Yearn for each moment more.
of time is an illusion, casting a shadow on the floor. I wonder at the sun rise above this little town.
Don't seem real.
Yeah, man. That was cool. Sounded good. Ben was kind of going on about wanting to put together the band, creating that big band sound. And it's like, but obviously a very different approach for you and your stuff. Has it always been a conscious decision to be a solo artist like this? Or?
I played in several bands in Portland.
Yeah.
But with moving to Amsterdam and giving up that scene, it was definitely a conscious decision at that point. While I was going to be sort of in this transitional space, it made sense to try to find some method of creating music alone.
How long are you back in the States?
Just till December.
When you're over there, do you play out a lot to the crowd?
No, I haven't really at all.
No, I was wondering how they take to it.
That's my plan for next year.
It's nice. Cool.
Trying to get out a little bit more.
Yeah, I have a friend, Lincoln Durham, plays around the country playing. He's kind of a one man band type of thing. He plays drums with his feet and wears a harmonica and plays guitar and. Sometimes he plays violin or diddly bow, like Scarbox guitar, and a bunch of different things, just to kind of create a lot of different textures for the songs. And being that it's only him, he has his like two kick drums that he plays with his feet, and then with the guitar he put like a big sticker on it that says doesn't play well with others. And so like he, you know, I think he had a kind of a similar thing where he, you know, tried the band's thing and it just something that worked out better. He just played by himself but I mean, I imagine as a touring artist, when you're on the road a lot, makes it a little more feasible. Mm-hmm. And
I played a few shows in the Pacific Northwest when I was back there in September. And it was super nice to just be able to go into a gig with, you know, a backpack and a guitar case.
Sure. Yeah. I talked to friends, Bruiser Queen also. They at one time, they are now a duo, but at one time they were a four piece, and that was like a lot of it was it's fun to have the more full sound and things, but when you're on the road as much as they are, you know, it's like it's nice to just be like, hey, you ready to go? Okay, yeah. And then like the two of them hit the road, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, not really having to coordinate four or five people into.
It's really hard.
And like Ben was saying too, life happens in the middle of all that too. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get everybody's schedules to align and stuff. And
yeah. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier too, Ben, with always wanting to have your songs in a state where you can just walk in with a guitar and like no complications. Just,
yeah.
I'm here. I'm going to play music with just me and my guitar.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to rehearse. We don't have to find any common ground on it. You know, I can do it the way I want to do it, and it sounds good to me. We don't have to have anyone complaining that, oh no, that the that there's that 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 drone that you're doing, and it's too rhythmic. It takes away from the lyrical content of the song. I'm like, dude, I wrote this song, you know. God. Sorry. I was going through this last night.
But likewise, there's also something really magical about playing with a group of people for an extended period of time and seeing how the songs that you know, you wrote or someone else wrote evolve over time.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way things tighten up, the way the transitions change, the way that even the feel of the song can change over
That's the real magic of a band right there. It is.
Yeah. I went to see Jeremiah Johnson, blues rock guy here in town, and he's got a fantastic band with him, and they were playing, and like it was kind of a light crowd at the time, and then he's like just having some fun with it with the guys. He's like, hey, I'm just gonna make some shit up on this one, and like just kind of started noodling around with the guitar, and then I watched the drummer kind of pick a groove, and then like the sax player hopped in and started filling in some stuff, and it's just really cool to see like that improvised jam happening live, like where people, you know, just what happens with a band like that, mm-hmm. where you have that ability to do the different stuff like that, and just kind of create something like out of nothing. So
yeah, I love seeing like old jazz guys play together,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like they don't even look at each other, they don't even have to, they're just feeling it.
Sure. I'm not a musician at all, so like seeing something like that where people can just jump on stage and like, you know, pick up on a song or whatever it is and like immediately start fit right in and play it, and like that kind of stuff blows my mind. It's like
you got a zone. What's your zone? You got a zone. Not a danger zone. I mean, like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, like, you know, there must be something, like, even if it's as simple as brushing your teeth, you know, like something that you just,
sure,
when you do it, it's like you just, your mind is, it just locks in, and all these wires that have been in place there.
Right. Yeah. Know? Well, I mean, yeah, I think, I have my own things, but it's like, I don't understand that musical side of it, though. Sure. Like, as much of a fan of music as I am, I love listening to it, but like I could be able to get up there and jump on stage and create it like they do. Like, I mean, that stuff, like, I mean, I have no idea how that happens, but
I was just trying to make the comparison.
Right.
You know.
But yeah, I feel like that a lot too. Like I say about a lot of times with myself, like, you know, it's just like, I feel like we all have our purpose, and like for me, it's just being a fan of music, you know, mm-hmm. being a music appreciator or something. You know, it's like, because if we weren't people listening to it, then, you know, like you guys wouldn't be where you are. So like, so you got to have people out there that are promote it and talk about it and mm-hmm. want to listen to it and all that different stuff. So, so that's where I feel like that's what I'm good at, and so that's my zone.
Right on. Well, that's your answer.
There it is.
I can't believe I just didn't see it. It was sitting right in front of me. I apologize.
Well, very cool. This has been a ton of fun, guys, getting to kind of one to get to meet you guys. Like I mean, so like I said, we just met a little bit ago, but getting to hang out and talk a little about music for a couple hours here. And again, if you want to hear some more conversation, much different conversation, you can check out Into the Weeds with Ben, and you got new episodes every week. A lot of singer-songwriters kind of delving in deeper into mm-hmm. some of the songs and stuff like that. And
it's the traveling writer's round is what I call it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's a traveling writer's round, yeah. And it's very much like what we just did just now, only in different places with different people. And with different genres of music, I've been reaching out to touring people who I don't know almost specifically, because I feel like it brings in new energy that I wouldn't necessarily have if I was always drawing from sources that were nearer to me. I also like the idea of like connecting with people from out of town and bringing them in, and I feel like it helps build the scene, you know, mm-hmm. like. Introducing, say, just, you know, and last week I introduced this guy Derek, who lives in Nashville, who might be coming back through, to Kara Louise, and you know, they could potentially like do shows together now. Right. And, you know, it's like new connections forming.
I've said a lot of them too, how like this having a show, having a podcast and stuff is just like a great excuse for networking, because like you're, you know, had we not been recording a show, it might be very creepy to have some other guy to come over to your house and hang out in your basement for 2 hours. So,
Precisely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Under no other circumstance would we have come together like this.
Yeah, so I agree. It's just it's a great excuse for networking and meeting all kinds of people all across the country and the world. So.
Right on. Well, yeah. He was trying to wrap up, and I derailed it. I'm sorry.
No, man, that's cool. I really dig what you're doing, and I wish you continued success. Yeah. And again, check out intoweeds.com, all the episodes there, and on iTunes and as well. So
yes, on iTunes, yeah. Although it's kind of hard to find, but intoweeds.com is the best way to find it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can find. Where can we find you at, Mark?
I have a website, magical-trash.com. Magicaltrash.com is actually it's like a Tumblr of trash cans at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually partial. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that for copyright reasons, but it's partially an inspiration.
That's wonderful.
That's I listen to a lot of these podcasts with a lot of comedians, like I mentioned, being a fan of comedy, and like conversation that comes up a lot is their Twitter handles, because a lot of people are in the same thing with the URLs and stuff. People will buy with their name, and then like, especially, you know, because a lot of comedians go by their names, and then people will be like, well, who owns the website, who owns the .com or whatever, and they're like, oh, it was, you know, real estate agent or all these different things and stuff. It's just funny to hear who beat you to it, and
I beat you to your own name.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, check out Magical Trash.com. And, yeah, man, this has been awesome. I appreciate you guys doing this. I appreciate Mickey for hanging out. And
he doesn't have a website yet, so don't worry about
him. Wherever he's at now, taking care of the dog or something. So, all right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Boom.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.